Good morning, everyone. I am still in Whistler, and for those of you not actually looking at the video, I'm in somewhat of a disheveled state. This is what is it now? Like 2 weeks worth of holidays? Kind of does, Tim. So actually, I got the place to myself at the moment. Well, my wife and I have the place to myself at the moment. Our kids have gone and stayed with some family, so it's like, okay, I can sleep in, I can get up whenever I want. There's no fresh snow, so I'm not racing up the mountain. Yeah, who cares? We'll just do it as it is. So I did have a lot of engagement from people during the week when I was tweeting photos of Whistler. Apparently a lot of people really love Whistler. It is an epically awesome mountain. It's, for those of you who might be from Australia, which I know is just a few of you, it's about 40 times larger than Thredbo, which gives you an idea. This is like Whistler and Blackcomb Mountains together. So it's like massive terrain. I did a run with the kids a couple of days ago that was 9.3 kilometers long and a 1500 meter descent, which is just epic. And it's just a complete mix of everything too, from basic sort of cruise along green trails through to double black climb up through the warning signs and the bombs that have gone off for avalanches and stuff. So it's a really, really cool spot with a heap of different variety. So I've been riding for 9 days straight now, which probably also helps explain the disheveledness. And today's the last day. So we are going to go home tonight, which I'm actually really happy about. I mean, this is like, if you're not watching, I'm sitting next to a Christmas tree and a fireplace and very wintry sorts of things, which has been kind of cool, but it's summer at home. like it's really nice and my pool's there and it's going to be warm. So I'm well and truly looking forward to getting home. Not least of which is because I've had a week and a half of drinking stuff like this, which is, well, you know, it says passion for coffee and tea, but you wouldn't want to be very passionate about coffee and drinking this. It's instant hotel stuff. I'm going to mute my device here as well. So I'm reading notes off my iPad because I've just made a bunch. So this is Scott. I am going to talk about Scott, actually. I want to talk about something Scott and I have been doing together, which is available for you guys who are going to have a play with soon. But in order of the way my notes go, Whistler intro stuff, going home today. Next up, Pluralsight. So I did just get a Pluralsight course live literally just yesterday. I'm going to write about it in more detail later on as I throw the iPad off my lap. And the new Pluralsight course is part of this series that I've been doing this year. So every quarter we've done a series related to security culture. The first three were very sort of culture centric. This one's probably gone a little bit more off to the practical side of things. And this one is about managing the modern software dependency ecosystem. And each quarter we've sort of looked at the industry and gone, okay, well, what's kind of topical at the moment? What do we think people would like to know more about? And this sort of dependency ecosystem thing has come about because of attacks such as the Magecart stuff we've seen. So this is where either web applications themselves have had keyloggers dropped into them, or dependencies, external dependencies they have been modified. So earlier this year, that was a good example where we saw Browse Aloud, which was sort of an accessibility service, have their JavaScript modified, every single website that included it, then in this case ran a crypto miner. Excuse me, which is actually nowhere near as bad as something like Magecart, but still illustrates the point. That is terrible coffee, but it is caffeine. So there's that. And then, of course, there's all these other dependencies that we have around things like how many libraries do you run in your application? Most of the time these days, there are a heap of them. And then you'll speak to security folks sometimes, this is where I put my dev hat back on, and security folks will say, well, you should just code review all the libraries. It's like, I understand why you say that, and there are industries where that's important. But the very reason people went and got libraries in the first place is to save themselves from having to write the library or go through and read it all and understand every single line of code. And then, of course, even if you do that, we know that we're meant to keep libraries and dependencies and things up to date. So if you're working on the assumption that you have to read every line of code in every library, then how are you going to keep that up to date without having this massive burden on your team, which is kind of the, again, like the reason you went to get the library in the first place. So there are not good answers for all of these things. Sometimes you just have to choose what you're going to compromise on. But that course is now out there, and like the previous three this year, that is also in front of the paywall. So whether or not you have a Pluralsight subscription doesn't matter. You can go and watch Managing the Modern Software Dependency Ecosystem for free today. Now I'll write about that properly next week or on the plane today or something like that as well. But for the moment, that's what it is. Next week's Christmas. Crap. Oh, yeah. It kind of escaped me here because our entire schedule is out of date. Because today is the 22nd, which is almost the has actually gone the 23rd at home. So it's 2 days. Wow. Okay. A lot of stuff to happen in the next 2 days. I'll talk more about that later on. Okay. So that was Pluralsight. That's out there. Data breaches. There are 1.5 new data breaches in Have I Been Pwned? The one is a service called Mappery. And Mappery, is, as best I can tell, is for community-contributed maps. We're talking about like geographical maps here. So apparently a lot of people are very into maps, which is great. They then contribute their maps to this site, and to do so, they create accounts and things like that. 205,000 of those accounts did unfortunately turn up in a data breach, replete with SHA-1 hashes as well. No salt either. And frankly, even if SHA-1 had a salt, it was pretty useless. But mind you, SHA-1 no salt is basically what LinkedIn was as well. And we saw 99% or something of those get cracked. So bad news in terms of password storage. Now, Mappery was kind of interesting too, because this was another one where I tried to get in touch with the organization. I can't remember how I did it, but I do keep notes of these things just in case. I tried to get in touch with them, had absolutely no reply. You know, waited, I think, more than the normal sort of 72 hours. I'd try and wait. End up loading the data. And then as I was loading the data and I was searching through my great big stash of here's all the data I need to process from a gazillion different sources, I found there was another instance of Mappery in there as well, but from 2016. The one I loaded this week was from, like, literally in the last week. So it's just interesting to sort of see how data breaches sometimes occur multiple times over. And who knows if someone tried to get in touch with the organization back then as well, and they just didn't do it, and the thing's just been left there with SQL injection or whatever it is, just ongoing for years and years. Now, on the one hand, it's like, okay, it's a mapping site. Like, how bad can it be? On the other hand, you know that they're going to be real-world credentials that people have used in all sorts of places and password reuse and, you know, all the same credential stuffing problems that we've known for ages. So it's just frustrating. Like, I don't like finishing up a data breach investigation, for want of a better term, and loading the data into Have I Been Pwned and having no acknowledgement whatsoever from the company, because now it's like, well, is it still vulnerable? Anyway, that's those guys. The other one, the half, I won't say who it is just in case I don't get it loaded before I publish this out, but the data's already in there. I just need to sort of flick the switch and write up my description. It is another one with about 250,000 accounts. Quite a bit of personal data in this one as well. And in fact, this particular one, the entire data set was posted to a Tor hidden service. Here you go, download it. The link has been circulated. I have been in touch with the company. They have acknowledged that they do know about it. It's not just database, it's a whole bunch of web app files as well. And it looks like someone managed to get a shell on their box by, I think, via an upload feature somewhere in the service. And you can tell this because the entire website has been downloaded and you can inspect the files. So that's another one which will go up. Maybe that might have been an airport thing for me today. I think I'm going to end up sitting in the airport for freaking ages this afternoon. So anyway, that one will go up soon too. Other news. Stickers. Have I Been Pwned stickers. A lot of people got their stickers. My stickers should be waiting for me at home when I get back. Lots of other people have had them shipped to them. They've put stickers on laptops, shared photos and things. And it's just like, it's super, super cool to see a manifestation of something that is otherwise just like an entirely digital entity appear on real things. And like, it, maybe that sounds trivial, I don't know, but for something that I sort of sit at home and build in my spare time, like, it's just really, really cool to actually see that turn up in real places. So if anyone else is getting stickers, whack them on, take a photo, share that with me, I'll give them a tweet and a good plug because I love seeing them out there. So that was the stickers. Now, slightly different topic. Ah, boy, there's just always material here. I was browsing around my Twitters this week, and someone pointed me to a conversation that was related to Spotify. Now, Spotify actually pops up a lot in things I get tweeted into, and usually I get tweeted into comments about Spotify's had a data breach. My credentials have just appeared in the Spotify breach. Troy, have you seen this? Have I been pwned? Just notified me because there was a paste. And time and time and time and time again, and honestly, Spotify just so much more than anything else, I go and I have a look at the paste, and it's like, this is not Spotify. Like, maybe your credentials work with Spotify, but this is obviously just a credential stuffing list. So someone's gone and grabbed a great big list of usernames and passwords, thrown them at Spotify, whole bunch of password reuse, and now people are getting notifications, and of course, the paste is often titled Spotify Breach, because whoever put it together is just trying to, I don't know, maybe it's kudos for themselves, maybe it's just wanting to screw with Spotify. But it gets represented as a Spotify breach. People contact me and go, it is my Spotify details, it must be legit. Well, no, you just had a shit password and you reused it on Spotify. So that's normally the context. This context was a little bit different. And I'm going to read you one of the tweets, which is pretty much a template by the look of it, used in many different cases, from the Spotify Cares account to someone asking for help with their account. I'll give you a good example here. First one in this tweet I'll share in my links. Hey Liam, could you send us your account's username and password? We'll take a closer look. Now actually, not a complete template, because here's another one. Hey Ethan, help's here. Could you please send us a DM with your account's username and password? We'll look into this for you. Different operators too. The first one was, excuse me, someone with the initials of FS. Second one was someone with the initials of CN. Here's another one. Hey, Henry, help's here. Could you send us a direct message? Direct message, not DM. So it's not even a template because it's not using the same words. Direct message with your account's username and password. We'll take a look backstage. First use of the word backstage by operator DP. And then there's a fourth one here. Hey, Jahay, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that name. Helps here. Could you please DM us the username and password of your account and the ones you'd like to join? We'll take a look backstage. Again, the backstage term. Interesting. But operator SZ. Now, oh, excuse me. Too much time in the snow. This is not good. Asking people to send their password to a customer support person is not a good idea. Now, in some cases as well, in the first tweet, they didn't even say DM. So you can imagine that the masses out there on Twitter, there are going to be people that just reply to the tweet and go, here's my DM, here's my credentials. Plus, of course, there's going to be many people that actually do DM Spotify and say, look, here is my username and my password. That same password is going to be able to unlock a whole bunch of other things. It sits there in a recoverable fashion in a DM. Who knows how many operators see it as well, because there's a whole bunch of them that are going to have access to that Spotify account, the Spotify Twitter account. Now, on seeing this, I deduced that this wasn't a very good thing. In fact, that's why I was tweeted at to begin with. And I shared a tweet. And I forget what the original tweet said, because I'm looking at a different one down here. But I quote tweeted Spotify and obviously made a bit of fun of the premise of them doing this. And as I've said many times before, this is effectively shaming. And shaming does work very well. Excuse me. Shaming does work very well in terms of actually getting companies to change their security approach. I'm not going to pay any attention to all of this. It's victim shaming or victim blaming, etc. Now, there's a whole blog post on this about why it actually works really well and why, if you're a customer service operator sitting out there representing the organization, you do need to then hold the organization itself accountable for the operator's words. So anyway, I quote tweeted this. And of course, many people chimed in, and not long after that, the tweet disappeared. Now, as part of the chiming in, I had multiple people, again, not getting upset with Spotify, but getting upset with me because of Spotify's tweet and the fact that I had highlighted the fact that they were doing something really, really dodgy. And the upset comments, I'm not going to single anyone out here, but they were sort of along the lines of either, oh, shaming doesn't work, or don't blame this single operator, or maybe it's just one rogue person. Now, all of this just doesn't reconcile. It's not one rogue person. The four tweets I just mentioned there, someone else flagged later on, which demonstrated that multiple different operators, the same request but different wording, not from a template, different phrases even to refer to how they would like the data sent. So clearly this is more of a consistent practice which is ingrained across multiple people. In terms of blaming an operator, like, this is not blaming an operator. You know, like, this is Spotify cares. It's not, you know, hey, Jimbo, you're being a dick asking for this information. It's Spotify cares, don't do this. And again, they're the representatives of the company. We're going to hold the company accountable based on their public persona, which is a Twitter account. So I was sort of surprised to hear the negativity. Now, in amongst this thread, Spotify Cares did actually acknowledge that something is dodgy here, and they're going to be looking into that. It would be interesting to go back and have another look here and see if there are actually any further requests for password. But look, it's, you know, like this is not a massive thing in the scheme of InfoSec things. There are much bigger things going on, but this is just one of these things that should be so easily avoidable and is such an easily observable sort of coalface issue with the way they do their security. So anyway, that's Spotify. Last thing, and this is the thing that's related to Scott Helm as well. We run Report URI together, which does CSP reporting, HPKP reporting, a whole bunch of other reporting. We are running a private beta at the moment for DMARC reporting. So if you have a DMARC policy controlling who can send email from your domain, which is a very good idea, by the way, you should have a DMARC policy, then get in touch with Report URI. I will link to the tweet where we actually ask for beta testers, which has instructions on how to participate in that. Get in touch with us and see if you can jump on the DMARC reporting bandwagon, because it's a super cool thing and it just adds to this like massive range, or increasingly massive range, of things that we can actually report on, receive at Report URI, and then give you nice graphs and things like that for. So check that out as well. That's super cool. Last thing this week is StrongDM is my new sponsor this week. So I mentioned a little bit earlier on, there's going to be a couple of new sponsors coming up. There's going to be a couple of other ones that you see very predominantly across the first half of next year as well. But today at StrongDM, they're using single sign-on to grant or revoke access to every database and system within your organization and trying to clean up a bit of the kludge that is permissions within most large companies. Most small ones I've seen as well, actually, now that I think about it, have a bit of a kludge of permissions, because managing permissions is a hard problem. And these guys are tackling it, so go and check out StrongDM. So that's it for me. I'm going to go and try and get some turns in this morning, make the most of my snowboarding, because it's the last snowboarding I'm going to get until next month when I'm in Norway and I'm going to go snowboarding again. So I'm going to go make the most of that. It's then like a 2-hour drive from Whistler to Vancouver, assuming it's clear, which it should be today. It's then going to be waiting around in the airport for many, many hours, because we had to check out of the hotel anyway. Then 15 and a bit hours from Vancouver straight to Sydney. So pretty cool that we can do Qantas from Vancouver straight to Sydney. They do have flights these days. Then I got to go from Sydney back to Brisbane. Then I got to go from Brisbane back to the Gold Coast. So that's another hour and a half, by the way. So there's a second flight. Get a car from Brisbane back down to the Gold Coast. And then I got something really cool to go and collect. I've got something waiting at home, which I'm super excited about. I'm going to talk about next week. And there's going to be some interesting things to share there. So a little bit of an early Christmas present, but I'll get into that later on. And then, of course, Christmas and everything else. So I'm going to come back to you guys. Oh, what are we today? It should have been yesterday, 28th, because I know this one is late again. So I'll come back to you next week, back from somewhere comfortable at home. And look, thanks very much for watching these couple of updates, which I know have been late and disheveled and in a strange place. But hopefully it shares a little bit of what I've been up to, as well as showing you just a little bit of what it's like in a cold Christmas. But most of you probably have cold Christmases anyway. Next week we'll show you what it looks like in a hot.